Tell me who hath believed our report, and to whom is it revealed, the mighty arm of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson. I'd like you to join me and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church here in Plano, Texas, as we minister the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In 1973, Doyle Davidson, the president of this ministry, a man that I've known for 30 years, was in a hard place. And as he shared it, he had a struggle in his heart and in his mind. Who is God and what is he like? And one day, God revealed himself to him and said, "This is how I am," showing him his own nature described in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. Let me read them to you. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him, Moses, there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. In the 1980s, Doyle told Terry Mai, our worship leader, that there was a song in that scripture if he could write it, and Terry did. He wrote this beautiful melody and the words for four verses along with a familiar chorus that this church has sung together for years. Thank God for the powerful anointing on this song that came from heaven through Doyle's heart, written by Terry Mai by the Spirit of God, and sung here by Terry and the Browns along with Paul Peters. We all pray that God will minister himself to you as you listen to this song, I Proclaim the Name.
God's nature was published for all time to come when he said, God, full of mercy and gracious. I proclaim the Lord.
That was a beautiful song, wasn't it? Now we are going to continue to talk about the gospel. And frankly, that's all you're ever going to hear me talk about, the gospel and the attributes of it. And I'll explain that in the next couple of verses. And I want to begin in Mark 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So what did Jesus preach here? He preached the gospel. In verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What does repent ye mean? It means to change your will, to change what you believe, and to believe the gospel instead. And the wonderful thing about the Bible is the definitions of the words that you need to know are right there in the Bible. And the definition of the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And this is Paul speaking. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So this is Paul also declaring, preaching the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So how do you get saved? You get saved through the gospel. If, look at that next word, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Did you know that you could believe in vain? That's what the word of God says. But verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And here is your definition of the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There is the definition of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Now, why is that so important? Well, let's go again to Romans 1:16. Paul speaking again, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed of it. He's not timid to use it. He's not afraid to trust in it. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, remember, we just found out what the definition of the gospel was, that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Why is it important that we preach the gospel? The next phrase, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's where the power of God comes from. It comes through the gospel. Do you need healing? It will come through the gospel. Do you need a job? It'll come through the gospel. Do you need delivered? It'll come through the gospel. Do you need a broken heart healed? It'll come through the gospel. It says right here, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That is where the power comes from. It comes through the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what I preach. That's what we all should preach. That's what Jesus preached. That's what Paul preached. Now, we are going to continue talking about the resurrection. And again, I'm going to ask you to put away all your preconceived ideas about Jesus and the resurrection. And we're only going to look at what the Word of God states. You know, in John 17, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and he's praying to his Father in heaven. So how can they be the same person if Jesus is praying to the Father in heaven? He couldn't be praying to himself, but he's praying here to the Father. And he's talking about his disciples and those after him. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So here we hear from Jesus that thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. Have you ever heard somebody say they were searching for truth? Well, here is the truth. The truth is the word of God. And that's what we're going to look at and nothing else. And I'm going to ask you a question before we go into this. I want to ask you, what form was Jesus in when he came out of that grave? What form was he in? I want you to think about that for a minute. What do you believe Jesus was when he came out of the grave? Well, we're going to take a look at just a couple scriptures. We're going to begin in John 20. At the beginning of John 20, it's the resurrection. It's the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene went to the sepulcher. She found that the body of Jesus was gone. She goes and gets Peter and John, and they come to the sepulcher. And then they go away, nothing happens, but Mary's left alone. And I'm going to begin in verse 11. And it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Now verse 14, "And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but knew not that it was Jesus." Now look at what Mary sees here. Verse 15, "And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And look at this next statement. She said, "She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Notice Mary supposed that he was the gardener. So he must have looked like a common man. She didn't say that he sparkled. He didn't shine. He wasn't transcending above the ground. But she thought he was the gardener. So Jesus must have looked like a man here. And let's go on. "And Jesus say unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say master. And then the next verse, Jesus say unto her, Touch me not." Now he's talking to Mary Magdalene. He said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." I want you to take note of that, because a little bit further on, he does just the opposite. So between here and when he is talking to his disciples, he must have ascended to the Father. And he said, "But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." I love these statements. These are comforting words. Jesus said, "I ascend unto my Father and your Father." How did he become our Father? Because Jesus died, was buried, and came out of that grave. And then he goes on and he says, "And to my God and to your God." How did he become our God? He became our God when Jesus died, was buried, and came out of that grave. And he told Mary, "He's not only my Father, now he's your Father. And he's not only my God, he's your God." What a marvelous, wonderful thing that the resurrection has brought us. Now let's turn to Luke 24. And this again, he has been speaking to these two men on the way to Emmaus. In verse 33 of Luke 24, it says, "They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." In verse 35, "And they told what things were done in the way, how he was made known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Now look at these next couple of verses. He said, "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit." And 38, "And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Look at this next statement. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me." Jesus tells his disciples right here, "Handle me. Touch me. And see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have." So what came out of that grave? Flesh and bones came out of that grave. Jesus says it right here. He states it right here. Flesh and bones. Handle me as you see me have. What came out of that grave? Flesh and bones. Now notice it doesn't say blood, because he shed that blood for us. But right here, you have flesh and bones. And he goes on and he says in verse 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed to them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb." Look at verse 43. "And he took it and he did eat before them." Does a spirit eat? So what came out of the grave that morning on the resurrection? A man came out of that grave. A live man. Not a spirit. A man with flesh and bones. Flesh and bones that ate. That's what came out of the grave that morning. because he is a resurrected Jesus. He has a body that will never die, but it's a body, just like we'll have at the resurrection. I'd like to share a testimony along these lines. Years ago, God was teaching me about his son. You know, in John 6:45, it says that all shall be taught of God. God will teach you if you ask him. In Ephesians 1, it says that we may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. And I was reading about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Spirit of God was teaching me, and certain scriptures would stand out, ones about Jesus. You know, I grew up believing that Jesus was so beyond us that you couldn't touch him, that he must have walked a couple inches off the ground, that he was unapproachable, and most of all, that you weren't allowed to touch him, that he didn't want you to touch him. And the Spirit of God here was teaching me otherwise. I remember reading where he would pick up the young children and lay hands on them and bless them. I remember reading about where the man with leprosy came to him and said, Jesus, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will, reached out and touched the leprous man. I remember reading where the woman came to him with the issue of blood, and she said, if I can only but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And she made her way and touched the garment, and Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And his disciples said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? I saw there that everybody was touching Jesus, that everybody around him was trying to get to him and touch him. And you know, it didn't bother Jesus at all. And I remember reading where John laid his head on Jesus' chest at the supper in the upper room. And I would read these words and I'd consider them. I'd meditate on them. And they were starting to burn into my heart. And I remember one day when I was praying about this, that Jesus came to me and said, Kathy, reach out and touch me. You know, at first I couldn't. I still had that unbelief that you couldn't touch him, that you weren't allowed to touch him. But the Spirit of God kept pressing me, reach out and touch me. You know, I couldn't see Jesus. He wasn't really standing in front of me. In fact, I was standing next to a wall. But the Spirit of God kept telling me, reach out and touch me. So I did. I opened my palm finally, and I reached out. And you know, my hand hit the wall, but my faith touched Jesus. And that power, that anointing came pouring into me, and I went to my knees. You know, it says the anointing breaks the yoke. And right there with that anointing in me, God started delivering me from that rejection, from those lies that were taught to me that Jesus was unapproachable. He absolutely is approachable. He is not afraid to have you touch him. In fact, it said that he loved us and gave himself for us, that you can touch him anytime. You know, Jesus will meet you where you're at, and he'll do the same thing for you that he did for me that day when I was standing next to the wall. Reach out and touch him. He is right there, and he will minister to your needs if you will let him. Reach out and touch him. He will meet you where you're at, and he will minister to you just like he ministers to me. Have you ever considered Psalm 103? I'm going to read you the first 5 verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The first verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When do you bless the Lord? You bless the Lord when you don't want to. You bless the Lord when things are tough, and you remind him of all his benefits. And look at the rest of those verses. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Where do we get all of this? We get it through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And right along these lines, I'd like to finish the program with two great songs. The first written and ministered by the Hurleys. They are three brothers, the twins Carl and Kevin and their younger brother Denny. The title of the song, Oh My Heart Will Rejoice. The second, an old tune that many of you know and can sing right along with, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, ministered here by Glenda Shane.
Oh, my heart will rejoice, I will make a joyful noise, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. This is the victory that overcomes the world. I give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good to me. He's my fortress in the midst of my enemy. And by the Spirit of Christ that now lives in me, I can stand against the storm and calm the raging sea. Oh, my heart will rejoice, I will make a joyful noise, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. This is the victory that overcomes the world. I give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good to me. He's my fortress in the midst of my enemy. And by the Spirit of Christ that now lives in me, I can stand against the storm and calm the raging sea. Oh, my heart will rejoice, I will make a joyful noise, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. This is the victory that overcomes the world. I give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good to me. He's my fortress in the midst of my enemy. And by the Spirit of Christ that now lives in me, I can stand against the storm and calm the raging sea. And by the Spirit of Christ that now lives in me, I can stand against the storm and calm the raging sea.
Keep me from all wrong.
you for joining me and the musicians from Water of Life Church. I would love to hear from you. You may reach me by email at Kathy, K-A-T-H-I-E, at KathyDavidsonWOL.com, or you may write me at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 86-1327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find me on the internet at www.KathyDavidsonWOL.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.